has come out in the Spirit of God this morning, the Word of God this morning here among us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I just praise God that the church was in good hand with our elders here. Amen? Thank God for our elders. Thank you, Paul. Bob and Fran. Amen. Amen. It's nice that the pastor can leave and know that the church is well taken care of. Amen. Amen. This morning I'm going to be sharing about the Apostle Paul. And just looking over his life. A man of education, a Pharisee, the tribe of Benjamin, man of the law. And to see his life over the period when he encountered Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. A man with pride. A man stood above others. And now he met Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus. And his whole life was changed. He was blind for 3 days. And Jesus said to him, Paul, you will suffer many things for me. And we can begin to see Paul's life change and suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ. My message this morning is unity through humiliation. Unity through humiliation. The epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Philippians. You see, in Acts chapter 16, I share with you. Acts chapter 16, Paul was traveling with Silas through Asia. And they could not preach the word of God there. And then the Bible says that a vision of a man came to Paul and said, come to Macedonia and help us. And Paul understood that he was to go to Macedonia and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And arriving there a few days, they went down to the water. They believed that it was a group of people, a woman praying there. And they met a woman named Lydia. And the Bible said that the Lord opened her heart. And she received the words of Paul. And the church began at her house. And she invited them and begged them to stay with her. As we continue in Acts, Paul, a few days later, went to a prayer meeting. And there was a woman who was possessed, a fortune teller. And she would cry after them. And he's a man of God who brings the word of salvation. And she will cry after them every day. And finally, Paul turned around and rebuked the demon out of her. And his owners, her master, got upset and took Paul to the city officials. And they put him in jail. And the interesting thing, the Bible says that the jailer was ordered to keep him in a dungeon. And it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas began to worship the Lord. He began to worship. And there was a shaking of the foundation of jail, that the doors came open and the shackles came off of them. Then the jailer took a sword to kill himself. But Paul cried out and said, don't, we all are here. And the Bible says that the jailer and all his household were saved. So that was the first church in Macedonia. And that was his second missionary trip. It is believed that 6 years later, in his third missionary trip, Paul visited Philippi again. And after that, it is possible that he never saw the Philippians Christian church again. But Paul sent a letter, a warm letter of encouragement to the church in Philippians. Because the Philippians were being persecuted, and he wanted to support them and strengthen them. But he wanted to support them and strengthen them by his experience in prison himself, through his suffering. He wanted to encourage the church that look at my life. Look at the sufferings I've been through. Look at the beating I have taken for Christ. But he wanted to encourage them. How do we live a Christian in a non-Christian world? How do you respond to those around you hostile to your faith? Paul suffered for his faith. But you know, in his writing of this letter, he wrote it with joy. He demonstrated that the Christian can be passionate of Christ regardless of their circumstances. Amen. We can be passionate for Christ regardless of our circumstances. The scripture reading this morning is out of chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 7. He begins, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever thing is true, whatever thing is noble, whatever thing is just, whatever thing is pure, whatever thing are lovely, whatever thing are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw me, these you do, and the peace of God would be with you." Amen. Let us pray. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I glorify you today, Lord. Father, these are your words through a man who suffered for you, Apostle Paul. Father, I pray that all of us will be like the Apostle Paul. A man who loved his God, who gave his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you as we gather today and hearing your word. Let that seed that was spoken throughout this morning, that seed of your word be planted in our hearts. And let it fruition there, Lord. Father, we come humbly before you this morning, knowing that you are all things, and all things belong to you, and all things were created for your purpose and for your will. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence among us this morning, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Paul is encouraging the church of Philippi to stand fast, to be of the same mind, to rejoice in the Lord, but in everything by praying and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request known to God. For the peace of God should surpass all your understanding and guard your hearts and mind. You see, unity only comes in Christ, in the church. When we come to have that mindset, the mind of Christ in each one of us, we can learn to love one another. We can learn to walk in humility among one another. We can learn to care about one another. We can learn to love those in the world. Only thing when we're united in Christ as a church. We can have that grace and the peace of Christ in our lives. In chapter 1 in Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes, only in Christ we find unity and joy possible. He begins his letter to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishop and the deacons. He begins to say, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God upon every request for you, all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day into now. Be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun the good works in you will complete it into the day of Jesus Christ. Be confident in this thing. The work that he began in each one of your lives, he will complete it in Christ Jesus. Just as it's right for me to think this of you all in my heart, and as much as both in my chain, in my defense, in my confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me in grace, for God is my witness. How greatly I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that you will love, that your love may abound still more and more knowledge in all discernment, that you may be approved the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense to the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. The fruits of righteousness that is spoken in the Gospel of John. Righteousness. The day you receive Christ as your personal Savior through grace. The fruit of righteousness in your life. See, we're hearing the pastor's heart in Paul for this church. And the pastor's heart is that people will produce fruit in their lives. That God will complete those things in their own personal lives in Jesus Christ. And the joy of a pastor is when they see the Christian brothers and sisters loving one another. Putting their self-interest last. Establishing that brother in love. Comforting that one in need. That's the heart that the pastor sees. And that's what Paul is writing about. It is the fruit of the Spirit of God in us. It is Christ in us that we can do these things. It is the finished cross of Christ on the cross that gives us the Holy Spirit and produce fruits in our lives. We are working out this salvation every day. Salvation means justification. Yes, justification. He redeemed us. He's working in us. God works in us every day that we can become more and more like him. That's what Paul is saying. We're becoming more like him. As he works in us, as we walk out this salvation in our lives. Friday night we had a guest speaker here. Thursday night. And he always came back to the cross. Always came back to the cross. He always spoke about the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. He said, our sins are now on the cross. Our sickness is now on the cross. It is complete. It is finished. We as Christian people need to begin to walk in it and receive what God has for you. We don't need to struggle. We need to receive what he completed on the cross for each one of us. All the promises of Jesus Christ belongs to you. His people. His children. Every promise. Yes, amen. Every promise is yours. Receive it. Believe him. The Bible says those who come to him must believe who he is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The one who was obedient unto death, unto the cross. Who suffered many things. And Paul writes that he didn't see him equal with God. But he humbled himself. He's our example as Christians to live our lives as Jesus Christ did. That we may walk humbly before our Lord to serve one another, to love one another, to reach the lost in this community, to live the abundant life that He gives us. Hallelujah. He says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherness of Christ. He's in prison. He says, for the things I'm struggling with, for the pains and the whip I got whipped with, helps me further the gospel of Jesus Christ. He go on to say, so that it has become evidence to all the prison guards and the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chain and much more boldly speak the word of God without fear. He's saying, in my chain, in my circumstances, in my suffering, the brethren is being encouraged to share the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear. He is encouraging the church to not be afraid, but to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And verse 27 in chapter 1, he says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come to see you or in my absence, I may hear of your fears, that you are standing fast, that you are in one spirit, that you are in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's the church. That we will be steadfast, that we will be in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. Let us be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. In chapter 2, verse 1 through 8, he says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through self-ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let us esteem others better than ourselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of the bondservant, coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death on the cross. Let us be like Jesus. Let us walk in humility and unity with one another. That's the pastor's heart. To see the church in fellowship. To see the church in one spirit, in one accord, in one mind. Yes. bringing the truth to the ungodly world. Let us walk worthy of our calling, each one of us, of Jesus Christ and the gospel. I had a friend of mine, a pastor in Cuba. He would always tell me when I was a young Christian, Michael, protect your testimony.
Hallelujah.
Protect your testimony. He said, you must protect your testimony. Always protect your testimony. Because when you're a witness to Christ, you are testifying who you are. You're saying, I am a Christian. And when the world keeps his eyes on you, they're waiting for you to mess up. They even try to ring you in and test you. They want to test you. And once you make that mistake, you lose their respect. Be worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Be worthy of the calling of Christ in your life. My friend in Cuba said, protect your testimony. Protect who you are in Christ Jesus. If there's any consolation in Christ, consolation. Christ come for us in his love. He gave us hope through Christ Jesus by grace. He gave himself and the Father who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace. And therefore, we ought to love one another. Because that same grace and comfort he gave me, I should give it to her. I should give it to her and her and her and him. That same comfort he comfort me. The love he bestowed upon me. I should give it to my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. The fellowship of the Spirit. Christian love. Like-mindedness. Let us be preserved in our communion with God and with each other. If any affection and mercy, if you expect the benefits of God, the compassion towards yourself, be compassionate to others. If you receive compassion to benefit from Him, give it to others. He says, fulfill my joy. It's the joy of the minister to see his people like mine and living in Christ's love. It's the joy of the pastor to see his people like-minded and living in love. It's the love of Christ. It's the love that he saved me through his son. And when we come to that place of salvation and knowing how great salvation we have, which most people just throw it away, it cost him his life. You hold a great gift, precious treasures in Christ Jesus. It's for you to receive and to give. We can only do it through Christ and not of our own strength. Christians must have this mind of Christ. We must bear the resemblance of his life. In Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly of heart. And you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest for your souls. For we are lowly minded. We should be like minded. If we are in Christ, our Lord Jesus, who humbled himself to suffer in death for us, not only to satisfy God's justice, but to pay the price of our redemption, but to set us to set us an example that we might follow his steps. He set an example for us that we may follow his steps. That's what Paul's telling the church. That's what he's saying. Paul came to a place that he became nothing. That Christ will become more and more in his life. He says in his letter, I have much and I have little. He came to a place of contentment in his life that his heart was to serve God. That he followed the footsteps of Jesus. And that's what he's calling the church, to follow the footsteps of Jesus. And in that chapter we can read, if I live, I live for Christ. If I die, I die for Christ. He goes on to say, it's better for me to stay for your benefit, that this gospel may be preached. Paul, the apostle, who suffered much for the sake of Christ. That we be set apart for Christ in our lives. We're not perfect, but he's perfect. And only in him we can do the things he assigns us to do in this life. Without him, we can do nothing. But he chose every one of you. Every one of you, he called you to be apart for him. And Paul says, those things he began in your life, he will complete it in Christ Jesus. I believe that. I believe those things he began in my life, he will be completed in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. I thank you, Father, for the life of Paul. I continue to study Paul and look at Paul's life. He was a man who gave his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was a man who did not look back, but was always looking forward to receive the crown. The Bible says, rejoice with the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, that the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, Paul says, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.